Welcome to the Circle Sessions featuring the Circle of Experts. The Circle of Experts are Yasmin Robles from Robles Designs, Tanisha English Amamu of TJE Communications, and Don the Idea Guy. I'm Brett Johnson from Circle 27 Media Podcast Consultants. Each week, one of the Circle of Experts joins me to talk about some critical aspects of growing your podcast. We focus on marketing, social media, monetization, and website design to help you implement all of these together. Well, this week, we've got Yasmin with me. I'm loving this topic because we're always trying to navigate trends. We see the coolest stuff and we kind of want to do this, that, and the other. So, you know, what are some of the key market trends and industry disruptions within the web design that small businesses should be aware of right now?
Yeah. So I love trends, whether it's fashion or tech, anything that comes out, I'm usually the first one to try and snag it. So I thought this would be a really great topic for our listeners. One of the major trends, and we will touch on AI, I know that's one of the big ones, but I do want to wrap in some of the other ones. A major trend is really the increasing importance of mobile optimization and responsive design. And I know I've said this in a lot of other episodes, and I've kind of been harping on it for, I feel like, years. But as the years go by, it's becoming more and more important that your website is really, truly optimized for mobile and just responsive. There are so many people accessing websites through mobile devices. And from our research and supporting other businesses, it's increasing. So, for example, although we support the Chamber with their website, it's also showing that although most of them are still on desktop when they're signing up for events and that sort of thing, they are still looking us up on mobile. So no matter what industry you're in, you want to make sure that it is mobile optimized. And you want to think of it as really being crucial for your business and really ensuring that there is a seamless experience for the user across all the screens. The other point that I would like to make out is that although I love desktop, everything I do is on desktop. I do have a phone, a smartphone. I do things there, but a lot of the business decisions, things that I tend to do more businessy, they are on desktop. Completely the reverse is my husband. We own a commercial cleaning company as well. And almost every single thing he does, 99% of the time, will be on his phone. So knowing your audience is going to be really crucial when it comes to ensuring that everything is mobile optimized. Additionally, user experience, UX and UI, which means user interface. Those trends are really starting to evolve rapidly with a more keen focus on intuitive navigation and really engaging visuals. If you don't know what any of the stuff that I just said means, it basically means that think about the user coming onto your website, whether it is on a mobile or desktop or tablet, and making sure that their journey from point A to point B is as seamless and just engaging as possible. You don't want it to be really boring or clunky. The visual content and the multimedia integration are also really on the rise as these businesses start to seek out how to captivate their audience with storytelling and really immersing the user in the story of the company.
So can you provide some examples of how these trends are shaping modern website design?
Yeah, so if you take responsive design, for instance, many businesses are really adopting that mobile-first approach and prioritizing mobile experience and then really scaling up for larger screens. In our industry specifically, although a lot of our clients come and look at the website first on desktop because they want to see that beautiful full-width website, our approach is actually the opposite, and it should be the opposite. It's you take the mobile design first, and then you expand it out. In terms of UX, UI trends, we're really seeing a move towards minimalistic designs with clean layouts and really bold typography. Visual content, such as videos and animations, are being used to convey brand messages in a more engaging way. So again, think about the user, think about what messages you're providing to them and how you can best send that brand appropriate message and really get them to take some kind of action.
So now what about accessibility and inclusivity in the web design? I mean, how are those factors influencing the industry as well?
Yeah. So I suggest that the listeners also go back to some of the previous episodes that we've done. We go through, I think we had one or two that were really focused on accessibility, but as just in general, accessibility and inclusivity are really becoming increasingly important considerations for businesses. It's really essential to design websites that are accessible to users of all abilities, including with disabilities. So this means really ensuring features like alt text for images. And alt text is basically, you can think of it as text hidden behind an image that a screen reader or something else will end up reading, a bot will end up reading, because they can't see images. Or even if you are not aiming for accessibility, but somebody's just on a very slow internet speed or old style phone and the image doesn't load appropriately, maybe the image is too large, they will see the alt text. So it's important for that to be there. Keyboard navigation. Some people can't use a mouse to navigate through your website. So how can they get through it with just using the keyboard?
You make a good point about the load time, because not everybody is under 5G or has a phone for 5G on their, you know, they still may be LTE or they're in spotty areas. In the country, we're blessed in Central Ohio here that, you know, we pretty much have some good speeds and such. But yeah, kind of think about it as, okay, what's going to happen in slow speed? That's a really good point. I really want to emphasize, because the more you think it's great and the more stuff you have, is like, it may not work real well everywhere.
Yeah. So for example, just to steer into that topic a little bit, photographers, really, when we look at their website, and it's very image heavy. And one of the things that they can do is optimize their images so that they're not dense, if that makes sense. So they're not too heavy on the load time, but they can also add more text. So some of these, their potential clients could be, even if I'm inside of a warehouse in Costco, or just maybe just my phone isn't working somewhere in a garage and I'm trying to figure out who this person was that I met at a conference, right? If their website is loading too slowly because it's really heavy on images and I don't see any text, I might just add it to my list, a long list of tabs that I'll eventually forget about. So you want to make sure that that speed time is there, or that there's an alternative. So alt text for images, that the core information of whatever you're trying to get out is not on the image. So images should have graphics. They shouldn't really have a lot of text in them. And then throughout that website, have some of that text. So if it's an event page, you might have an image. It could have a little bit of text on it, but you'll also want to make sure that all of the event information, such as the agenda, is highlightable live text on the site. This also goes for email, just to take the side note a little further. Email, depending on the provider, so most of mine, it will load the images, but there are other providers that sometimes Outlook will have issues with this, where people literally have to go in and click load images, depending on how they're getting their email. And so if you're sending out a newsletter and a lot of people have to click load images, they might not take that step. And if you don't have any live text within that email, it might end up just being thrown out. But to wrap it back up, another thing that you have to watch out for is really clear readability. And what this basically means is make your site easy to read when it comes to text. High contrast, so black and white are the highest contrast. You can squint your eyes if you just want to DIY it. There's other free tools out there. But if your text is any other color and your background is any other color, and I can't off the top of my head remember what it is, but there's a couple of tools that we talked about in another episode, and you can probably just Google it. But you can put the color code in there and the size of the text, and it'll tell you if you pass or fail in terms of accessibility.
What did I just see today or yesterday? It was a recent email from someone, and they highlighted the links in their newsletter with yellow. And I was on screen, you know, laptop, and it was a bear to read. It was a terrible contrast. I'm thinking that the other font color it wasn't really dark black. So even the contrast there, but it was so hard to see this greenish yellow highlighted link. It was horrible. It was terrible. And it's kind of a good example here, what you're saying, but at the same time, boy, if you can't see it, there's nothing to click. Or if it's annoying, you can't read the words of what it really is. It's very difficult. And I was surprised. But because of who sent it, thinking, you have not looked at your contrast. You think it's cool, but it's not working for me at least. Yeah.
And we sometimes forget about it because I don't wear glasses. I've been so far, knock on wood, been blessed with good eyesight. But you forget, right? You forget about people who are colorblind, people who do wear glasses, and it could just be a little tweak to that color that can support. So yeah, sometimes it kind of gets past us, but just a small change can help really with that readability. And then by prioritizing the accessibility, businesses can really, you can really reach a broader audience and demonstrate your commitment to the industry. And it's those things like those, that link in yellow, hopefully might have been on white. So yellow on white is one of my least favorites. But just that hiccup, right? You opened up the email, you saw it. And even if you were to click on that link, it's almost like that pause that you don't want that pause for when it comes to a smooth user journey. You want there to be them to not even think about accessibility or think about, oh, that's kind of hard to read. You want them to just click on that link.
Yeah, exactly. Your next thought about e-commerce, it popped in my mind a little bit when you said the load time on a photo, a heavy photo. And you're in Costco or you're shopping, and it's one of those, oh yeah, if you're comparison shopping while you're shopping and it doesn't load up, you may lose a sale. So, you know, what about e-commerce and online transactions? I mean, what are those trends impacting web design for small businesses? That's what popped in my mind going, yeah, you may lose a sale because the image didn't load up when you compared prices.
Yeah. Everybody does comparison now, right? We all have a smartphone. We all have basically a small computer on our fingertips when we're at Target or anywhere else. But e-commerce is becoming a really big, it's a game changer, especially for smaller businesses trying to get out there. And in light of all of the recent global events that we've had, e-commerce has just become so, like, we just do it more often. We're getting used to it, right? If we need something, we'll go to Amazon, and we're getting used to comparison shopping between Amazon and other companies. And then there's a movement of trying to support local or small businesses. So there's a group of people that might go on Amazon, they would double check themselves and say, maybe there's a local business that I can support. So having a really smooth transition in your e-commerce business is ideal. As more consumers really embrace that convenience of shopping from the comfort of their home, though, and businesses really need to ensure that the websites are optimized. So what this all entails is implementing features kind of like the one-click checkout, personalized product recommendations based on the user behavior, making sure that you have secure payment gateways to instill trust and confidence in making those online transactions. And what all this basically means is, again, smooth journey for the user. The one-click checkout is great. People have gotten me with that one. So I'll instead of adding it to cart, I just click one, go through the one-click checkout, and I purchase it. And they get me to buy things so much faster. And that's what you want, right? And the personalized product recommendations, there's a couple of tools out there. Maybe we can go into it in another podcast episode. But as the user's going through the site, it'll start recommending based on what they've been looking at. And if they're logged in or if they have some kind of sign in, like Amazon, right? Amazon's dashboard, when you first log in, there's recommendations based on what you've been looking for. So if I've been on the hunt to feed my plant children, right? It'll then start feeding me, giving me more things for plants. So it starts to follow me around and give me recommendations. That is great for the consumer. And a seamless e-commerce experience can be a game changer for all of the businesses looking to really expand their reach and boost their sales.
Yeah, I think you're making a really good point. I'm putting it back into a podcaster's realm that they may, you know, create a small e-commerce area that they're selling some t-shirts or, you know, and they're hosting it on their own. They're not going flipping it to TeePublic or something like that, that they have their own little store, maybe five things, but they may not put a lot of thought to it going, oh, we have an e-store. Ooh, we're doing this. We're selling coffee mugs. We're selling t-shirts. But while you have that listener excited to buy something, you want to make that experience easy. And mm-hmm. that if you don't, then you kind of you miff them off. I'm kind of, you know, it's like, wait a minute, you're not making this really easy for me to get a coffee mug from you, you know, sort of thing. Yeah. So it's that, yeah, you have the store, be careful, make sure you make it easy for the listener.
Yeah, there's also, so I do follow, there's a couple of podcasters that I follow that do have online stores and I have purchased from them. Mm. And it's, they make it easy. And I'm going to say it out loud, like their website is not the most beautiful of websites. I know that they're built on Shopify because it looks like a Shopify template, but they at least put some thought into connecting the podcast, the email newsletter, and their merch. And making their merch something that it is about the podcast, but it's also something that people want to show off, right? So the coffee mugs and things like that that have a funny saying. So that's how they got me. So email marketing is gold. They have an e-commerce website that, although it is, they do have their podcast listed there and you can listen to it on all the platforms. They also showcase a lot of the products there and make it super easy for you to just purchase. And then they do target you. So I believe that I've been targeted through ads. So if you have a little bit of an ad budget, retargeting is great, a great way to spend it. Not necessarily getting new people, but getting the people who've already come to your e-commerce site and retargeting them with whether it's 20% off or a free shipping or something, especially during holidays, because you know they were already on your site. They're already fans. They're likely listening to your podcast. Now you can retarget them and get them to purchase merch.
Yeah, exactly. Let's touch on data privacy and security. That's always a hot topic. Always. The ebb and flow of that depends on if there's a security breach with someone, or you get the infamous letter in the mail kind of going, yeah, your data has been breached and here you get a free year of Experian. How should small businesses approach these concerns in their website design?
Yeah, so data privacy and security, they're like top priorities for businesses and consumers. I mean, they always have been, but now it's just more in the news, right? And small businesses really need to implement robust security measures to protect their data, their users' data, depending on whether or not you're collecting it, and comply with protections and regulations. So, for example, at the most simplest forms, just having an SSL certificate, which if you Google it, you'll find out what that means. It's a secure, I keep always forget what it stands for, but SSL certificate, if you type in HTTPS, that S means that site has an SSL certificate. It's like one of the most basic layers of protection. And not only that, but honestly, if your site doesn't have an SSL certificate, most browsers will block it or put some kind of, maybe not directly block it, but ask the user, hey, I'm not really sure if you should trust this website. It's up to you if you want to go ahead. And usually a user will say, nope, I do not even want to try going into that website. So then you could be losing people. And then encrypting sensitive information is ideal, and just regularly updating things, updating protocols, updating the core of the website, depending on your platform. And by prioritizing these data privacy and security, businesses can really, you really build trust with your customers and you build up your reputation.
Yeah, I've noticed even if you're not selling anything, you really should have the S on it. I mean, I'm seeing some copy-pasting that doesn't happen properly because you don't have it. So it's almost the default. If you don't have it, just get it. And you're not selling a thing, it doesn't matter. There's still some data and privacy stuff that you may be collecting email for newsletters, that sort of thing. It just has that layer of, yeah, you may not be going into collecting credit card numbers or anything like that, but it's still information. It's mm-hmm. data that can be sold, and you want the user to know that, okay, I'm doing the best I can with my website, right?
Yeah.
You talked earlier about AI. Let's you know, how do you foresee artificial intelligence shaping the future of websites for small businesses?
Yeah, so AI is the trendy new thing right now. Yeah. And it's really for our business personally, it's been a game changer. It just takes that extra load of doing the tasks nobody ever wants to do. And then you can actually strategize for businesses. But we're already seeing an impact across various aspects of website design and user experience when it comes to that specifically. AI-powered technologies are revolutionizing how businesses interact with their customers online, from personalized recommendations and chatbots to advanced analytics and predictive modeling. So if you just take chatbots and you have the type of business that there's a lot more customer inquiries, and you can add a chatbot to the site, like a little chat box, and then the bot, you can program it to have, at the most simplest ways, to just offer some solutions while somebody gets on the line, or it can, you almost sometimes can't even tell that it's, you can actually start believing that it's a person that's supporting the, whatever it is that your, the service provider should be supporting with. For smaller businesses though, you can harness AI and really unlock opportunities to deliver these tailored experiences to streamline your operations and drive growth. Anything from content creation to scripting out a podcast, right? Or at least not, maybe not the script, but the outline. The outline is great to research, to brainstorm. It's, for us, it's that brainstorming piece where AI really helps. Sometimes you've had a full day of brainstorming and you can put that data in there and get even more ideas, let's say for a podcast episode, right? So if you're doing a podcast for a law firm, then you can start gaining a little bit more of a momentum with that brainstorming. I would say, though, when it comes to content creation, just be very aware that places like Google might not be so excited that you're, if you copy and paste directly from any of the multitude of AI providers right now, because they think of that as cheating. So just make sure you're using it wisely. With great power comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to branding, it can, there's just so much. There's so much with AI that can support a business.
Yeah, I'm noticing now, I don't know, I forget it was LinkedIn or Facebook that now has AI prompts for questions, or, you know, so, and if nothing else, not utilizing it for yourself as the user, but it's that, what is Facebook and LinkedIn looking for prompts? It could be questions that you think about for your podcast, or maybe further mm-hmm. questions you even put in there for another. There's a lot of different things going on. I think it's interesting what artificial intelligence is pulling from content that we're creating to really come up with some, oh, that's an interesting question. Didn't think about going in there. You know, mm-hmm. again, based on other inquiries, possibly. I mean, lots of different factors going on, but it is interesting for sure. Yeah. Can you provide some concrete examples of how AI is being integrated into modern website design?
Yeah, so we can start with personalization. AI algorithms can analyze user behavior and preferences in real time, allowing small businesses to deliver more personalized or highly personalized content and product recommendations to each visitor. This not only really enhances the user experience, but it also increases the engagement and the conversion rates. So chatbots, as I mentioned, are an example of AI in action. These virtual assistants, you can call them, can really provide that instant customer support, as I mentioned, answer any questions and make transactions a little bit easier and really improve the satisfaction rate of your and the efficiency of your business. In addition to that, AI-powered analytics tools can really enable businesses to gain deeper insights into website performance, user engagement, and market trends, really empowering that data-driven decision-making and optimization strategies. And honestly, it all that is fancy speak for it can provide really good data to you as a business owner, as a podcaster, to see where you can pivot. So it gets rid of, for example, the menial tasks that you might have to gather information from all these sources. It can start gathering that for you and spit out some information nicely cleaned up, so that then you, as the podcaster, as a business owner, can go in and make really good decisions based on the information that you're getting. And for your customers, if you go back to e-commerce, you know, at the bottom of a product page, it can say you might like these. That can be very personalized as well. Email marketing can also be personalized depending on the user's behavior. So if you know that a segment of your buyers have a tendency to purchase more of widget A than widget B, now you can create emails customized to them. And then there's an even bigger way. So you don't even have to create each individual email now. You can actually populate, like create segments or different levels of the email. And then that, depending on which platform you're using, it can then take all of these and build it themselves. So if you have, let's say, three sections of your email, it can then say, well, Sally loves widget A, but Bob loves widget B. We're just going to take that information and automatically swap with the first thing that they see in that email. So it is, I love AI. As you can tell, I can nerd out about it, but it's really helpful for a business to understand where these trends are going.
Well, I think it's pretty cool that it's customizing. I mean, again, it's for the positive. It's making a good user experience of that newsletter, because that you signed up for it, you want something that's content you want to use. So if AI is helping deliver a better newsletter to that individual, why not? You know, So another example I was thinking, I don't know, I may be going too far with AI on this, but I know that you can basically create your website blog to roll one right into another, into another, into another. It's basically keeping you on page for a longer time, that sort of thing. So can AI take a look at, okay, I'm reading this blog, it's a blog off of a podcast, or, you know, it's coinciding with one or the other. And if you give that blog site enough DNA, enough metadata, could it feed another blog after it that is similar in nature? Like, okay, so let's say, yes, we create a blog out of this podcast about the trends. And we talked a lot about AI. And we did an episode about AI as your intern, unpaid intern. And then let's say AI grab that blog next and say, okay, you probably want to listen and read this blog about the episode on the unpaid intern. AI, can it do that?
Yeah. So it's all about personalization, right? So now you need to feed it the information. Right. It depends on, you know, Spotify is doing a little bit of this. I've noticed it on my account where fun fact, I'm a crime junkie and I listen to a lot of crime podcasts. So all I know is that nobody know crime and to always ask for a lawyer. But Spotify knows this, right? So Spotify itself is now in the little dashboard that it gives me, providing additional crime podcasts that I can listen to. Not necessarily the podcast in general, but the actual episode. And it hasn't really failed at all. They also do that with playlists. I just listen to more podcasts than anything else, but they do it with playlists. So based on your listening, they can provide others. You can do that with a blog. It just depends on how much information you have about the user themselves. And it does take a lot more information than people really think, but you can install that onto your site, or if you have a membership portal, right, you can install that there, and how many articles or podcast episodes you have in backlog, but behind you, right, that you've already published. And that way the algorithm can then say, okay, Yasmin loves crime podcasts, but she also is a nerd. And so what can we feed to her that she's going to love to listen about?
Wow, that's exciting. Okay, that opens my eyes in regards to how to help podcasters really set up their blog pages, which is basically an expansion of their episode, of looking at it a little bit differently. Basically, you know, keeping time spent on page, that sort of thing. They just continue to feed that user similar information that's going to dig deeper a little bit in regards to the content that's there, or, hey, you might like this as well kind of feel to it. So, wow, okay. So, I mean, how do you think AI will continue to evolve and impact websites in the future then?
Yeah, so I would say it's limitless, the potential that AI has for website design. And really, as AI technologies become more sophisticated and accessible, we can expect to see like an even greater innovation and integration across the board. So for instance, AI design tools may automate the creation of website layouts, graphics, content maybe, and really saving you time and resources for small businesses, especially if you're starting out and you know that, you know, you don't need an agency designed website, but you need to be able to get something out there for your podcast. This will be super helpful. And then additionally, AI powered voice assistants and augmented reality experiences could revolutionize how people interact with websites. So this is something that I'm starting to dig into myself, because offering immersive and intuitive browsing experiences is really key. And again, we were talking about that user experience. So let's say at the lightest form of this technology, the lightweight form of it, Target has an app, and I can go in there and say, I think Apple might have one too, where you can pick a product and then see it in your own space, right? Mm. So how can we take that tech, and the advances have been made on that tech as well. That's like the most lightweight form of that tech. How can we take that and then add it to the website to make it a really unique and seamless experience? So if you have, for example, a venue that you want to rent out, how can we make that venue come to life when it comes to a website and somebody trying to book that venue for a wedding? So just AI is, I don't know, again, I tend to nerd out on all of these, but ultimately AI has the potential to transform the websites into these really intelligent, adaptive platforms that can anticipate the needs and fulfill the needs of each individual user.
Kind of bring in virtual reality to a website versus you jumping into virtual reality, which has been kind of like, what's going on in there, that sort of thing, but bringing it outside into a website. That's cool. Mm-hmm. No, very cool. So when small businesses are looking at this to prepare to leverage this AI, are they looking at building a whole new website, or we got plugins that kind of help build and put in that a website that already exists?
I would say just the first step is education and awareness. Okay. Really, small businesses should really leverage it. It should stay informed about the latest developments in AI technology. Just kind of read up on it, right? So you're thinking about making your website, just kind of stay in the know. Now, if you're looking to build your website with utilizing AI, I would say now that you're in the know and you have done a little bit of research, it depends on your platform. Right. It depends on what features you want, what sort of tech, what the user experience has to be, right? So if you are a podcaster, you want to sell merch, and you know that your platform is Shopify, now you know, and you know what features you want that need AI, for example, the recommended products when people are browsing, or maybe something to support your podcast and or your blog posts and try to like feed people to personalized listening. You can now then go back in and say, does Shopify support with this? Are they on track? Is there something in the horizon that they're working on to support my small business venture as it's growing? AI can get, and I'm going to be completely honest, AI is great, but it can get somewhat pricey if you are a very small micro business or solopreneur. But I feel like we're on the precipice, like really at that brink where everything has been accelerating. And now it's all about really going and getting simplified for everyone to be able to use. Hopefully that answered your question. I think it depends on a lot of different factors. Yeah. If you just want to simplify it, almost every single platform has some kind of AI that's starting to be pulled in: Squarespace, Shopify, WordPress. If I will give a warning though, if you are, it's great for startups, but if you are looking for a really optimized site, AI isn't yet capable of taking over and really, for example, creating a marketing strategy that fits businesses really well. It can make that beginner website. And then let's say a year later, you've grown so much, now you probably need the support of an agency to help really direct that ship, right? That you need somebody to captain the marketing for you. But in the beginning, I would say if you have the capability, if the platform fits, if it's offering you the right features, then yeah, totally go for it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think as long as we continue to remember, things still need the human touch. Don't let this take over. You may think it's simple, but like you said, the price point may not be in your favor, as well as if you let things, at least in my mind, if you let things kind of coast and let AI take care of things, it may go off on a tangent you may not want it to go if you're not checking it. There's still some things that need to be hands-on. I agree. But no, this is really interesting where it's going in the utilization of how AI is helping make a better product for you. Again, using it as a tool, not as a total workforce for you, and employing and working with people that understand it as well, too. And that leads me to how can they get a hold of you? I mean, obviously, you've got some great ideas here. And that's kind of why I wanted to go with, like, are you too late in the game if you had a website up for like 4 or 5 years? You know, that sort of thing. But you can best answer that. I mean, how can they get a hold of you to kind of do a little bit of analysis?
Yeah, they could just email me, yasmin@roblesdesigns.com. You can find that information at roblesdesigns.com, roblesdesigns.com. You can also download a free checklist if you kind of just want to stalk me a little bit and see what I'm all about. It's at roblesdesigns.com/checklist. If you personally want to get a hold of me, the platform that I'm on the most is LinkedIn, and yeah, it's LinkedIn and email. We are as a team on Instagram and Facebook, but yeah, if you want to message me on LinkedIn, I'm more than happy to set up a call and walk you through it. AI is AI, and all of these trends really are a lot of them emerging and shifting constantly. So it sometimes feels a little overwhelming to stay on top of them, but I mean, we can talk over tacos and tequila and kind of decipher that for you.
Yeah, I think you're right. It can be overwhelming, especially if you're doing the Dr. Google search and it's just throwing websites at you and probably a lot of jargon that you have no idea what it means. And maybe 90% of it doesn't mean anything to you, but you need somebody to decipher it through. So no, I think that's a great idea to talk to somebody that's in it all the time. Exactly. So, and if you need to talk about your website, or I should say your website, of course, Yasmin, and if podcast, go to mypodcastguy.com. Hop on my calendar. If it has things to do with, you know, the podcast and AI itself, we'll get Yasmin on this, you know, the call too as well. So that's either way is fantastic. But yeah, we all work together here at Circle Sessions with the Circle of Experts to, you know, if it's about the website design, Yasmin's going to be on it as well too. So yeah, go to mypodcastguy.com to schedule a time. Thanks again, Yasmin.
Yeah, thank you so much.